Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Now, in this week's show, we'll be hearing about Creation Tide and about how it brings a gem of good news about climate change. But first, just talking about climate and weather, Neil emailed from Verulamium Rotary to say that they will be collecting money at Morrison's supermarket in Fleetvale this Friday, Saturday and Sunday to help Caribbean islanders affected by Hurricane Irma. Now, as you know, thousands of people have been left without shelter, with no electricity and with no safe water. And so in true practical fashion, the Rotarians will be using their money to buy what they call shelter boxes. Now, these contain a tent, water purification equipment, solar lights, cooking equipment, for everything that a person or a family needs to keep them safe and warm and dry and healthy until their house is rebuilt and they're able to get their life back together again. So please do support them. That's at Morrison's, I presume it's just been the foyer or somewhere like that, and that's this Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the hardworking people from Verulamium Rotary will be the ones who are shaking the boxes. So as they do support them. Now, I've heard of Lent, I've heard of Advent, even Whitsuntide, but did you know that we're in the midst of Creation Tide? Well, I'd not heard about it before. But anyway, so I thought we'd get along Helen Hutchison, the Environment Officer for the Diocese of St Albans, so that she could explain what it's all about. Helen, thank you very much indeed for joining me. This is the first time I've come across Creation Tide. Is it a new thing?
Well, the idea has been around for about 10 years, being raised by the Orthodox Church in the East, the Greek and Russian Orthodox. And when I was at a big conference in Sibiu in Romania of all the churches of Europe, it was being discussed and pushed very hard by the young people at that conference. This must be 10 years ago.
Okay, so that's interesting that it's something that's come from the East rather than something, I don't know, we tend to think that that it's perhaps the West that's leading more on these environmental issues.
No, this is very much Bartholomew, who, right, you know, is a great environmentalist.
Bartholomew, tell me who's that?
He's the patriarch of, right, the Orthodox Church.
Right, okay then. Well, that's good to hear about the enthusiasm that he's engendering. And as you say, particularly amongst younger people.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Yes. Now, I was interested, actually, that the Bishop of Salisbury, who I believe is the bishop who leads within the Church of England on the environment, yes, and he said that it's important that Christians rediscover older traditions of a godly relationship of humanity to the wider created order. So I'm interested that this is an older way of thinking.
It is. I mean, it was, I think it was the Reformation that caused this split between sort of mind and body, if you like. It became very much an intellectual thing, was faith. Whereas in the past, before the Reformation, there was a much closer sense that people were part of nature and their lives were very much identified with the seasons. And we somehow lost that. And so he's right, yes. I mean, we're looking back,
yes,
to rediscover these.
Yes, and I suppose also it's quite appropriate to have Creation Tide, you know, at the time of year, actually, we'll be celebrating harvest, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is,
yes,
a celebration of the bounty of the,
yes,
world and our connection.
And Lammas, which is an even older celebration, yeah, of early October.
Yes, indeed. Now, the Pope has given the idea a bit of a boost. Tell us about what he said.
Well, the Pope, in his encyclical Laudato Si on the environment, he said that there were two issues here. There was the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. And he saw these two as being absolutely together and part of the same problem.
Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it? I often am a little bit disappointed that that people still seem reluctant to, for instance, support environmental charities, whereas they'd be very happy to support something that helps poor people. Whereas a lot of the time, as the Pope has suggested there, the two are very much connected, aren't they? And by helping the environment, it's helping a much more broad spectrum of people as well.
Yeah, and I think also the environmental effects of climate change are being felt much more in the global south than they are up here in the north. And yet it's our lifestyle which is creating the climate change, which is creating misery for the poor of the South.
Yes.
So, yes, I mean, you're right. We haven't really clocked this yet.
Yeah, yes. I think that's right. We'll come to that again in a moment, I think. Now, my understanding was that Christians believe that man was given dominion over the world and everything in it. So, as a Christian, how can you really believe that there's any, I suppose, moral imperative to protect the environment?
Well, I think, again, you have to go back to the way words were used and the understanding that they developed. And the word dominion, actually, if you look back into ancient scriptures, it meant more stewardship than dominion. Now, stewardship implies a relationship between man and nature. And again, I think this is something we're having to rediscover, that in fact, it's not a question of man having dominion over nature and just changing everything in the way that we appear to be doing. We have to understand that without nature, we will not continue to have a planet to live on.
Yes, indeed. And I wonder, as you said, this is obviously a thinking that that the church is coming to understanding, but actually sort of as one of the moral leading organisations in a country like England, do we need help in the way in which we think about the environment from the Church of England?
Yes, I think we do. I mean, I think we have to understand that it's a question of life and that the church has always stood for life in a way that perhaps we've, again, lost. And that the moral good of what we do is absolutely part of the DNA of faith. And I think this, again, brings to the fore this sense that we have to look again at the moral good of behaving in a way that doesn't destroy the planet that we all share.
Yes. Yes, and as you say, life is the fundamental part of that, isn't it? It's very much part of Christianity, and so understanding better with, it's not just about our own lives, but about our life on this planet and how integral the planet is to us as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes, indeed. That is quite sort of quite deep, isn't it? There's a lot of thinking to be done there.
Yeah.
And do you feel that within the church, Christians are beginning to understand this, or do you still think that, you know, there are people who come to church already with some kind of an environmental conscience, who are doing work with their churches, but actually, as far as the wider congregation goes, the penny hasn't dropped yet?
I think it's an age thing, partly. I mean, a lot of, if you look at the demographic of church going, it's people 50, 60, 70 who perhaps don't have an understanding of how things are changing in the way that younger people do. And that's my take on this, that it seems to be harder to get it across to older churchgoers who've never had to think like this, that we do need to change. And they don't... I think it's an age demographic.
Okay, so you think that actually things are changing, and the idea that we need to protect the environment is becoming more of a core belief.
Well, certainly that is so at the top. I mean, you've got the Archbishop of Canterbury working together with the Pope and Bartholomew, and every other leader of every other faith that we could name now accept that we have to do something.
Right.
So it's there at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's taking ages to percolate through.
Well, yeah, but at least, I mean, it is much easier if you do have that leadership. And we're seeing this on an international level generally, aren't we, that without that leadership, actually things won't change. So at least in the church, you've started with that, which is really good news. So the kind of things you'll be thinking about and doing in Creation Tide, I assume this isn't something that's just happening in England, it's something global?
Yes, very much so. Well, for example, in Canada, there are a group of Indigenous Canadians with non-Indigenous Canadians having a vigil at the side of the Great Lake, which is obviously part of the Indigenous people's tradition, praying for the protection of water supplies in Canada.
Right.
Not far from that, there are a group of Franciscan nuns who are spending time at a site where there is a lot of radioactive material buried and grieving for the effect on the Earth of that.
Yes.
I'm just making that point by doing what they're doing.
Yes.
In this country, we have a whole range of things going on with suggestions that people use, say, an area where there's an environmental problem to have a church service around that, or where there's an area that needs healing to plant a tree.
Yeah.
So there are all sorts of ways in which you can come at this.
And things that are at a sort of a learning, thoughtful level, and things that are at a practical level as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, that must be really good to know, actually, that if you are a Christian who's concerned about the environment, that there's Christians from all sorts of different parts of Christianity all over the world who are thinking like you at this time.
Yes. And I think the really important thing is that we as Christians are working together. We're not doing it in separate faith groups. And again, this is a sort of reaction from, we're celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when there was a split between the Catholic and Protestant churches. And now we're saying we can show that Catholics and Protestants are working together to combat this problem of climate change.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Climate change is such a terrible thing, but the idea that actually it is bringing people together is at least some good thing. Yeah. Helen, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us about Creation Tide. And I was there talking to Helen Hutchison, and she's the Environment Officer for the Diocese of St Albans. Now, as we've heard before on Environment Matters, local churches are becoming a lot more active on environmental matters. You remember that we spoke to people from St Paul's Church on Hatfield Road, and that's the first local church to be awarded their Bronze Eco Church Award, and they tell me that they're marching on towards their Silver Award. And next week, we're going to hear from Rosemary Fletcher from Marlborough Road Methodist about some of the things that they are doing. And remember, you can always find out information about today's show on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, there's loads of events coming up in the next week, so keep your ears pinned back. There'll be something for you here. Now, on Friday, you're invited to a bat night at Highfield Park. That's at 7:50. And of course, they've got loads of lovely trees there. Great environment for bats. Everyone from the age of 10 upwards is invited to come along. You're going to learn about bats from a local bat expert and then get out into the park with a bat detector to find those bats as well. Now, you can pick up your tickets in advance for £5 from West Lodge in Highfield Park. Now, unfortunately, it's the last open food garden of the season. You'll remember that this is an opportunity to go and visit somebody's garden, somebody who's already growing lots of lovely stuff, and get a few tips, share a few ideas. This one will be on Sunday at 2 Cowper Road in Harpenden. You can drop along any time between 3 and 5. It's quite an urban garden. Obviously, it's near the centre of Harpenden. It's in the process of being created, sort of evolving, as they say. Lots of different fruit and vegetables. It wraps around all of the house so that there's aspects of garden looking each way. So there'll be, you know, a bit of garden that looks like your garden. A variety of fruit and vegetable bushes, things like fig, almond, honeyberry plants might be one to go and see. Apparently there is some on-street parking, but bicycles can be left in the garden. It's only 5 minutes from Harpenden Station. Unfortunately, wheelchair access is difficult because there's some steps and gravel pathways, and no dogs, please, except guide dogs. It's £2 donation suggested, and all the proceeds go to Transition St Albans Funds. So next Wednesday, Food Smarts is inviting you to talk on beekeeping. That's 10:30 to 11:30 at the Courtyard Cafe, which is on Hatfield Road. And they've got local beekeeper David Myveld, who will be sharing his knowledge and his experiences about bees. And that promises to be fascinating. That costs £5, but that includes a cup of the lovely Courtyard Cafe coffee. So do go along to that. And also next Wednesday, Transition St Albans invite you to their AGM. Now, that's going to be at 7:30 in the evening, down in the club room at the Abbey Theatre. That's down near Westminster Lodge. And Emma Tyler will be talking. Now, you'll remember that she is the lovely lady who founded the St Albans Refuse the Straw campaign, and she's going to be talking to the meeting about her campaign. Everybody's welcome to come along there, find out a little bit about Transition St Albans, what they're up to. They're doing a short film on plastic pollution, so you can learn a little bit more about that. A good chance for a chat over some refreshments and things, and of course the chance to hear Emma's talk. Now, you'll remember that that the people from Save Simon's Hide, they had fantastic barn dance, and they're also getting a beetle drive together with the help of the Wheatamstead and District Preservation Society, and that is going to be Saturday the 16th of September. This is to raise money for their fighting fund so that they can get legal help with the next stage of their campaign. Now, the beetle drive will be at Mead Hall, which is behind the Bull. It'll be £15, including a light supper and tea and coffee. You can take your own glasses and alcohol if you want to. There's more information on info at wheatamsteadpreservation.org.uk, and as I say, all the money there will go to the Save Simon's Hide Fighting Fund. So if you've never been to a beetle drive, actually, they are tremendous fun, surprisingly tremendous fun, so go and give it a try. And as I say, all the money will go towards a great cause. And just finally, National Open Garden Scheme this week is 60 Berry Lane, Datchworth, near Nebworth. Apparently this garden has fabulous views and a whole range of lovely different kinds of garden. They've got perennial planting, a woodland area, greenhouse, pond, and it is wheelchair accessible. Now, it's open on Friday evening 4 till 6:30, when you can enjoy the garden with a nice glass of wine, or Sunday afternoon 1 until 4:30, when it'll be tea and cake that you're looking at. So that's the National Open Garden Scheme. Again, all the money from that goes to fantastic range of charities, so you'll be visiting the garden, enjoying your cup of tea, and the knowledge that you're supporting some great causes. Now, you can find all this information from today's show on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website, where you can, of course, listen at leisure to your podcast. Now, we always like to hear from you. Tweet us at RV_environment. Email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. So next week, as I say, we'll be hearing from Marlborough Road Methodist Church. Until then, thank you for listening.